You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Welcome to On The Money from the SBS Newsroom for this Tuesday, the 25th of August 2020. This is your 10-minute daily business and finance roundup. It's great to have your company. Later in the program, we'll be speaking with Jo Masters. She is the chief economist at EY about the employment outlook. But first, let's start with the Australian share market, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up by 0.5% to 6,164. That's on the back of a record on Wall Street overnight, although our share market was higher at the open. The banks led the gains. Westpac up 4.3%. We saw some losses from some health players like CSL down 1.8%. Wesfarmers declined 1.7% and some of the miners too. BHP down 0.7%. One of the big gainers today, Afterpay, up 12% today. It hit another record. It's now got a larger market cap than Coles, for example. The company made an acquisition, it says, will help it to expand into companies which reported today. Blackmores, a vitamin company, shares down 5.6%. That's on the back of a 66% fall in statutory profit. It also says it plans to cut jobs. And Ansell, the condom and rubber glove maker, shares fell 2%. But the company reported a 42% rise in statutory net profit to around $159 million US. And it is a beneficiary of COVID-19, though it's seen rising sales of PPE, that's personal protective equipment, things like gloves especially. But even though its share price fell today, remember, shares are up around 84% since the March low. So for more details, I spoke earlier with Scott Phillips from the Motley Crew. So, Scott, the market lost a bit of steam this afternoon despite a record on Wall Street overnight. Why?
It did, didn't it? And it was a really good start. I think to some degree, Ricardo, hope springs eternal, but it also fades pretty quickly in the absence of good news. And when we're pinning our hopes on a vaccine being found, I think that is to some degree what takes the air out of the market as quickly as it puts it back in when the facts don't necessarily follow up the hopes.
Profit reporting season continues. Which companies caught your attention today and why?
It's fascinating. I think, look, Scentre Group was out in Mosaic, both sides of that retail tenant-landlord war, and a $3.6 billion write-down is hard to look past, I have to say. Also, too, Qantas, while it wasn't an earnings number, sacking 2,500 people and outsourcing those jobs to someone else really does show you exactly how uncertain this environment is. When the share market doing reasonably well, certainly over the longer term, there's a lot still going on beneath the water, and I think we need to be a little bit careful about assuming everything's okay just yet.
On Scentre, the Westfield Australia owner, what do you make of this retail war between landlords and tenants, especially with these big shopping centres?
Yeah, this is a huge one, and I think it's one of those things that isn't particularly exciting. There's not a lot of light and colour that goes with it, but the way this plays out has huge ramifications, and probably for years. If tenants can get away with not paying the rent, that undermines contract law and property law. If landlords win this one, it may well be a Pyrrhic victory, because if you've got no retail tenants left over, if they can't afford to pay the rent, then there's no one there for the shoppers to actually shop at. So the way this plays out, particularly if it gets even more litigious than it is now, really will, I think, set the stage. And again, layer on top of that, the growth in online spending, tough, tough time to be a retail landlord and a retail tenant.
And Lion has abandoned the $600 million sale of its drinks and dairy business to a Chinese company. Why? And what does it say about similar deals?
Yeah, effectively they're saying, look, they abandoned it. Both parties agreed to abandon it because they didn't expect to get a positive answer from the Foreign Investment Review Board. Of course, media was reporting last week that the Treasury was ready to say no. So maybe reading the tea leaves there. Hard to divorce this from the ongoing stoush about Treasury wines in China and the general geopolitical stuff that's going on. It's fine for both ministers on both sides of the argument to say, no, it's not political, except the rest of us know it's exactly political, which means, to your point, everything from here on in. Remember, Bellamy's was sold to the same owner, or the same prospective owner, by the way. So this is not a one-off scenario or a buyer that didn't like. This was given the green light before. Now, all of a sudden, it's a problem. I think if you're engaged in trade, particularly if you're trying to sell assets between Australia and China, it's going to be a much rockier road for the next little while.
Scott Phillips there, the Chief Investment Officer at the Motley Fool. Now, the key theme today has been jobs. Qantas saying around about 2,500 jobs are at risk. The airline is looking to outsource its ground operations to save it around $100 million a year. Here is the CEO of its domestic business, Andrew David, explaining the decision.
In recent weeks, the challenge has intensified with Victoria's lockdown, ongoing state border closures, and even the re-emergence of the virus in New Zealand. And significant uncertainty remains. There is no certainty of when borders will be lifted, nor is there certainty of when a vaccine will be available. We also know the future will look different. Our competitors will be leaner. The economy will go through a deep recession, and we will have significant debt to pay back. That means more hard decisions are necessary. And today, those hard decisions affect our ground handling operations. For context, Qantas and Jetstar already outsource ground handling, which includes baggage handling, tug driving, and aircraft cleaning at 55 airports around the country. We still perform these functions ourselves, in-house, using our employees at 11 other airports around the country. The COVID crisis is forcing us to look at how these services can be delivered more efficiently.
That was Andrew David there, the CEO of Qantas Domestic, explaining the company's decision to rejig its ground handling operations where 2,500 jobs are at risk. Shares in the company, though, rising today to $3.84. Now, of course, jobs continue to be in focus and economists around the country are rejigging or taking a look at their economic forecasts. We heard from NAB today, an interesting note that I saw. The economists there saying restrictions in Victoria will reduce Victorian GDP by about 15% in Q3. Nationally, that means it will take about 3% off Q3 output. What does it mean for unemployment? NAB has an unemployment peak prediction of 9.6% in early 2021 and for the end of the year, 7.6%. Of course, if you've got higher unemployment, it puts pressure on mortgage repayments and thus house prices. So NAB says house prices are likely to fall between 10 and 15%, led by Sydney and Melbourne. So continuing on those jobs themes, we had some bad economic numbers from the ABS today saying that payroll numbers fell 1%, meaning a 1% fall in jobs for the month to August the 8th. For more on that, I spoke with the chief economist of EY, Joe Masters. Joe, what do the latest payroll numbers say about the fragility of the economy?
I think they are a reminder that even though we've eased some restrictions, we are in the middle of a recession. And what we've found is that the improvement in the labour market that we saw is starting to stall. Job losses are back and they are pretty broad-based.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just Victoria, is it?
No, that's right. So in the last month, we have seen more jobs lost off the payroll in Victoria than in other states. But actually, we saw jobs off the payroll in New South Wales, in Queensland, and in WA. So pretty broadly based across the nation and spreading out across sectors of the economy beyond those that were just impacted by lockdown and restrictions.
What about the types of jobs that have been lost?
So I think that's really interesting and perhaps most concerning, actually, is that we're seeing job losses in construction, for example, start to accelerate. And that's a really big employer in our economy and one that was fairly resilient early on. We're also seeing job losses across agriculture, administrative services, professional services. So again, that broad-based weak economic activity feeding through into job losses across many sectors.
So what does it now say about where the unemployment rate is going?
So predicting the unemployment rate is really tough at the moment. There's a lot of definitional issues, but it does seem clear that there is further upside for unemployment and certainly for underemployment. So we're going to see a very weak labour market going forward, and that will flow through into wage growth, even for those Australians that have a job. So it's a challenge for household budgets and the economy.
And what do you think this all now means for fiscal policy?
So I think it's a reminder that the conditions we're facing are not just around lockdown, but around recession, and that the economy is going to need support for some time to come. Now, we might move out of the initial response phase where we've locked down and we've got very specific policies, but we're going to face a very weak labour market, a very weak economy, lots of firms that are struggling. So we're going to need ongoing fiscal stimulus, both directly for those vulnerable areas, but also broadly for what we call aggregate demand, so spending in the economy.
Final question, what do you say to those people who may feel like they are not in a recession, they're still working, but that the outlook looks a bit worse?
So one of the things I say is that jobs is how people feel recession. Now, it may not be that you yourself lose your job, but typically what happens in a recession is those job losses broaden, you know someone that has, and that starts to impact your own job security, and therefore the way that you spend your household budget, tend to start building precautionary savings, paying down debt, rather than discretionary spending.
Jo Masters there, the Chief Economist of EY. And that is your On the Money for this Tuesday, the 25th of August, 2020. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo.